gift of giving. The biblical example seems to be possibly the Apostle Matthew, and I'll show you the clues for that as we go along. Characteristics of the gift of giving. People who have the gift of giving seem to have a supernatural ability to see resources. They often have an amazing ability just to find resources. They're usually real good at making wise investments, too. They're sensitive to foolish investing and wise investing, and they tend to make wise investments. But they want to use assets very carefully, and that includes money, yes, but it also includes time, and it also includes other things. They want to use all these things effectively as resources to further God's work. Sometimes a person with a gift of giving does not have much money themselves, but they are able to figure out how to put resources together, maybe from other sources, in a way to get the work done, to get the job done. So people who have the gift of giving do not necessarily have a lot of resources themselves. They just know how to bring them together. Number two, they desire to invest themselves with the gift. That's a common attribute of people with the gift of giving. They don't just want to give a gift. They want to be involved in it totally. They want to give themselves to this ministry and to this work. Whatever it is they're supporting with resources and finances, they want to also put themselves into it and feel a part of it. A good illustration of that is when Paul was talking about the way the Corinthians had given, he said, and this they did in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, not as we hoped, but they first what? Do you remember? They gave their own selves to the Lord. They didn't just give financially. They did give financially, and he was pleased with that, but he said they gave their own selves to the Lord, and that's the way a giver likes to give. One walking in the Spirit, of course. Number three, they desire to give high-quality gifts. Givers have a great ability to discern things of value. They tend to be tuned in to things that are of value versus things that they may think of as junk. And they want to give something of value. They want their gifts to last. They want them to keep working, whatever it is. Matthew had sensitivity here. Remember, we talked about this before when we talked about some of these writers in the Bible. God chose people. He gave Matthew certain natural abilities, and then he gave him a spiritual gift. Apparently giving. And then, of course, he tuned him in to the things that the gift of giving would tune him into, and then he used him to write part of his scripture, the book of Matthew, and you see these little things coming out that would be the kinds of things that someone with a gift of giving might say. For example, he's the only one that tells us about the wise men's gifts, very precious gifts. He recognized the preciousness of those gifts that were given to the Lord. He recognized Mary's ointment that she anointed Jesus with as very precious ointment. He was sensitive to that. He recognized the tomb that Joseph allowed Jesus to use temporarily as a new tomb. It wasn't a used tomb. It was a valuable tomb. It was a brand new tomb. It had never been used. And he pointed that out as someone with a gift of giving might. Number four, he hopes his gift will answer prayer. A giver who is walking with the Lord will often feel a sense within him. And all of us will do this from time to time, but a giver is just tuned in to the Lord's direction to give a gift when other people might not see the need yet. So when he does that, it is great joy to him, of course, when someone says, that gift was an answer to prayer. We didn't know what we were going to do, but we were praying, and God used you to meet that need. That makes a giver so excited. More than anything, probably, to hear those words that this was an answer to prayer. It's important to him, so we obviously need to let people know. Number five, he wants to give secretly. Many times, people who are givers recognize the danger that people will begin to look to them for the gift or the resources instead of the Lord. And so, many times, they choose to give anonymously because they want people to learn to look to the Lord for the gift and not to the human giver. And so sometimes they give secretly. By the way, Matthew was the only gospel writer that God chose to write the part of the Sermon on the Mount where he talked about the importance of secret giving. It would really be important to a giver. Number six, a giver is concerned that his giving may corrupt people. Many givers have learned the destructiveness of the love of money. Givers tend to be tuned into that. And they know that, well, for one thing, givers have developed a discipline of life, the ones that have walked with the Lord. They've developed a discipline of living that they may be aware that other people haven't disciplined themselves to learn yet. And the person receiving the gift may not have learned that. And so they're concerned that they don't want to give something to somebody that's going to make them be dependent or to make them be lazy. A giver is sensitive to that. They think, I see a need here, and I want to give to meet that need, but I sure don't want this to cause that person to be lazy or to be dependent on me or somebody else instead of dependent on the Lord. And they want these people to learn how to be disciplined. So they're concerned about that. Number seven, they frequently personally exercise personal thriftiness. Now, they don't all. When we get to the misuses, you'll see sometimes that is not true of a giver. But often, people who like to give to support ministries have personally learned to be very frugal and very thrifty. A lot of times, givers are the people who like to use a lot of coupons and get the best buys and find the sales. They're sensitive to those things. They put a lot of extra effort into saving money and being resourceful. That's common of givers. And number eight, they like to use their gifts to multiply giving. Givers desire to motivate other people who don't have the gift to get in on the joy of giving. They've learned that giving brings enormous joy. Now, all Christians need to learn that. And so givers often want to kind of push people a little bit to learn that giving is a source of great joy. And so what do? Well, sometimes they'll give matching gifts. If there's a fundraising activity going on, a giver might say, I'm going to give X amount of dollars after other people have given that same amount. And it's their way of saying, I don't want to be the only one involved in this giving. I don't want to be the only one to experience the joy of giving. I want other people to get in on it too. So maybe this will encourage them to do it. Sometimes givers will wait and not give early in a program where giving is necessary. They'll wait. They'll hold back for a long while and just kind of let others get in on the giving, and then they know that at the right time, maybe near the end, they're going to step in and make a gift. But they want other people to experience it too. And then number nine, they like to confirm the amount with counsel. Sometimes a giver feels impressed by God to give a certain amount for a certain thing. And often, by the way, it's something that other people aren't noticing, aren't taking care of. They're not meeting those needs. The giver's tuned in. Here's a need, and I feel a need to give a certain amount to that. There's two aspects to that, the feeling the need to give, and then secondly, the amount to give. And they really like to get a confirmation from another close, maybe it's a spouse or a close friend in the Lord, that this is the right amount to give. You feel good about this. Is this what God wants me to do? Getting counsel from others. They like that confirmation, because they may not know exactly how much the need really is. They just want to know what their part is supposed to be, and they want to get counsel from God. I was thinking about this fact that they like to meet needs that often get overlooked. When we were on the way back from Dallas today, I was remembering a man that founded Tropicana Fruit Juice. The plant where they can Tropicana fruit juices and process them is in Bradenton, Florida. I lived there a couple of years. And the man who founded Tropicana Industries was a strong Christian man. Gave great glory to God. It was so neat. He had a bookstore there in the plant with Christian books. And he would bring Christian books in there, study books and things, resource books, reference books for Christians. And then he would sell them to Christian leaders in the community and anybody that worked in Tropicana at his cost just to get these things out. He belonged to an independent Baptist church down there. The church where I attended, the president and CEO was a member of that church. His name is Ken Barnaby, and he was a strong Christian, strong men of God. That's the way Tropicana was founded. Now, unfortunately, I don't think it's that way anymore, because several years ago, they got swallowed by one of these food conglomerates, and now it's run by outside sources. I don't think it's the same. But for a long time, Tropicana was a strong Christian organization. Anyway, the founder of Tropicana evidently had the gift of giving. I heard a lot of people talk about how much he gave to support Christian ministries and Christian efforts in different places. But he felt a need one time, this has been several years ago now, he noticed that there were missionaries coming home from the mission field, and they didn't have a place to live. They didn't build up a savings account over there. They were given everything they had on the mission field. They had nothing when they came home. And they were scrounging and looking for somebody to give them a place to live. So he put aside a huge amount of money and built several hundred homes near Bradenton, Florida, just outside of the city there, in the country at the time, and made a little village. And it was strictly for retired missionaries. And when they came home, they would apply, and he'd put them in a home didn't charge them a penny. Gave them a place to live until they died, retired missionaries. So here was a giver who was sensitive to a need that other people were oblivious to. Nobody else was even noticing. People weren't thinking about it. But it came to his attention, and he saw the need, and that just thrilled him, and of course it thrilled a lot of missionaries.